As we prepare to hear the word of God this morning, Jim Fry will be bringing the word to us. Let's open our heart as he shares the scripture reading with us this morning. God bless you, Jim, as you read today.
Good morning. I'll be reading from John chapter 12, the first 11 verses. This is from the New King James Version. And this is the very word of God. Then six days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." Now a great many of the Jews knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might also see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests plotted to put Lazarus to death also, because on account of him, many of the Jews went away and believed in Jesus.
And the Lord always adds his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for its truth and its power and its life. And Lord, as we open your word again this morning, we pray that you'd quiet our hearts before you, that you would take any distractions from our mind, that we would be able to see and hear you this morning through your word. And Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, that our souls and hearts would be refreshed for having been in your presence again this morning by opening your word together and worshiping you as one. That as we leave this place, Lord, the fragrance of your beauty, which is fill us and be seen through us, Lord, and strengthen us through the power of your word. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever walked into a room where you walk in and all of a sudden it's just full of this fragrance, and maybe it's pleasing or it's unpleasing, and if it's a displeasing fragrance, you say, "What is that smell?" You know, and that smell can just hit you in the face sometimes. Sometimes it can be really strong and offensive, or sometimes it can be pleasing. Sometimes there's something about a smell that someone can be in a room, and then after they leave, the smell can still linger. There was a man in our Columbia church, a dear man of God. He was one of the pillars of that congregation back in those days. And every day he would eat a Limburger and fresh garlic sandwich. Limburger cheese and fresh garlic. And he would have it for lunch every day. You put those two smells together, powerful. Well, he ate it every much so much that it would come out of his pores. And one day, his daughter worked for Dr. Carruthers, worked for one of the doctor's offices in Columbia. And he went in there one day over her lunchtime to visit with her over lunch. And by the time he was in there, the whole waiting room smelled like Limburger cheese and garlic. And he would often say, "Do you smell me? Do you smell me?" And his daughter said, "Dad, you stink." And after he walked out of the room, she had to get deodorizer and air freshener and spray down the whole waiting room because that smell just lingered. You know, it just permeated the senses. I mean, it hits you strong. There can be a lot of smells that we feel kind of like this picture makes us hold our nose. And we say, "What is that disgusting smell?" Some are very displeasing, such as this. You know, some shoes can get very smelly. And Kim says, "My feet stink sometimes at night." But shoes can be a displeasing odor, or garlic, fresh garlic. Now, I happen to love garlic, but some people find the garlic smell kind of a displeasing one to them. Trash, definitely. If you encounter that, that's an odor or a fragrance you would not want to smell. Pretty disgusting with decaying trash. And I love this one. The skunk, if you encounter a skunk, definitely they have an aroma or a smell that is one that you don't want to encounter. And that poor skunk saying, this stinks. You know, that God created him with that special defense system. But yeah, it's very effective for him. So those are aromas that are displeasing. But there can be aromas that please our senses, such as Nancy's chocolate chip cookies. You know, and they're just taken out of the oven and you smell those chocolate chip cookies and, oh, that's a smell that, you know, feels wonderful to us. How about it, Nancy, your whole house gets cooking with them, smelling with that food? Or coffee, George. I don't like coffee, but I love the smell of it. And coffee is one of those smells that I enjoy smelling, but I can't stand the taste of it. But it's a pleasing aroma to us. Roses are a pleasing aroma. Flowers can be a very pleasing aroma. And perfume can be, or sometimes it can be, extremely strong. Today we're going to look at several aromas or fragrances that were given off in the chapter that Jim just read for us. Because the Bible says that we are, you and I as believers, are the aroma or fragrance of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 to 17 says, every one of us give off an odor or a fragrance. And sometimes as people, we can give off an odor or a fragrance that's not too pleasing at times. Do you believe that? By the way we live, by the how we respond to others, by things we say, sometimes the aroma and the fragrance that comes out of our life is not too pleasing to the other person at that point in time. Or sometimes we can give an aroma or a fragrance that is pleasing, that sees the love and the beauty of Christ being reflected from us. But every one of us in this room is giving off a fragrance. And I'll say fragrance instead of odor because that sounds better. But giving off a fragrance, an aroma of some sort. And we want to give off the fragrance and the beauty of Jesus. So we're going to look at the scripture this morning. And we're going to see what kind of fragrance. There's three different types of fragrances that are given off in this special scripture this morning. And it says in verse 3 that the house was filled with these fragrances. That everybody that came in this encounter with Jesus was encountered the fragrance that is given out that filled the entire place because it lingered. And it had the power to affect others. And the aroma or the fragrance that goes out of our life has the power to reflect and affect others as well as bring glory to God. The scripture says that our worship goes up before the Lord as a pleasing aroma to Him. It's a fragrance that He smells upon. Now before we look into the scripture, just a little bit of the context of what's going on here. This scripture takes place in a banquet. A very significant place of where it fits in the scripture. Between two very special, significant events in Jesus' life. In chapter 11, we have the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And Lazarus had been in the grave for 4 days. We're going to come back to that. But Jesus brought him out of the grave in power. And just brought him, restored him back to life again. That event just happened in chapter 11. In chapter 12, verse 12. We have Jesus arriving into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey, going into the city of Bethlehem and city of Jerusalem into the triumphal entry, being proclaimed as the king, and Hosanna's being lifted to his name. So between the event of raising Lazarus from the dead and riding into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday morning, this event is stuck right in the middle. Very significant, because we'll see. And what this is a dinner that took place as a thank you dinner for raising Lazarus from the dead. And it was a celebration and a thank you to Jesus by Mary and Martha, the sisters, for restoring their brother back to life again. And I imagine they would have been grateful. Imagine receiving your brother from the... That's something to celebrate. that's something to have a dinner and a party about. But the celebration and this dinner was not held, though, in their home. If you read Matthew's account and Luke's account of it, we realize that it was told that it was in a home of a man named Simon the leper. And it was in Simon the leper's home, who also lived in the city of Bethany, where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived. And this dinner of celebration was being held there. Simon the leper being present, and the fact that Simon the leper had been healed by Jesus as well. So it was a celebration for Jesus' healing power and what he did and the power that he has. And in the midst of that celebration, Mary comes in with a bottle of very expensive perfume. She breaks it and she anoints Jesus' feet with it and dries his feet with her hair. And the fragrance of that perfume filled the entire house and affected everybody that was there. This story, and in this story, we're going to discover three different types of aroma or smells or fragrances that filled the room that day. And every one of them is pleasing to Christ. And we can learn from them, because we're going to be looking at the three main characters in this story and from their life, the different fragrances that they released. And the first one we see is the aroma of service. We could easily pass over this in the story as we're reading and get to the main part of what happens with Mary. But we can't forget about Martha, because her way of showing her devotion and her way of showing her worship and love for Jesus was different than the way her sister Mary did. And we read here that the meal was being served. There, dinner was given in Jesus' honor, verse 2. But where was Martha? What was she doing? She was serving. In other words, Martha was in her element. That's what she did. And she gave off a fragrance of service. And I could imagine, everybody knew Martha as one of the greatest cooks. I mean, when Jesus came to her house, he loved to have a meal with Martha prepared, because he knew it was going to be the best. And when we serve with the gifts God's given us, that's an aroma of pleasing, that's pleasing to the Lord, when we serve him for the right reason. Now Martha, when she served, she did it because she was making a meal for Jesus' honor, it says here. That she made this meal for the honor of Christ. And her service, her busyness, her activity was all done for the point of bringing glory to Christ. It was an act of worship. You know, sometimes we separate things in our life and say we can only the people that can serve God is an act of worship. Only people can really serve God are pastors, missionaries, and Bible teachers and professors. But that's not true. Martha served God by making a meal, by doing the dishes, by doing her household chores to the best she could to his glory. And whatever the gifts are that God's given you, you serve him. It says whatever we do, whether we eat or drink, or we do it all to who? His glory, right? You're serving God, Doug, whenever you're cleaning out septic systems. You're serving God. You're serving God when you're out there, Gene, in the fields. You're serving God in whatever you do, when we do it to the best we can, right? And when we use those abilities God's given us for the right reason, it's service. Martha served with all that she had. And the whole house, I can imagine the fragrance when you walked into a house that Martha was cooking. I could imagine the fragrance that filled that place. Or the fragrance of giving the best you have. Those of you that open your homes for the small groups, that's an act of service to God and offering it back up to him, or whatever it is that we have. When we give it for the right reason, and when we serve with the right attitude. It says here that was given in Jesus' honor, and Martha served. But Martha had learned something. Because when in the midst of her service, in the midst of her busyness, in the day-to-day of taking care of the meals and the dishes and all that had to be done with the chores, and imagine when you have somebody coming to your house and you're going to have a dinner, and a dream you like to have a lot of people in, and when you have someone in your house coming for dinner, it's a lot of work to prepare a meal, isn't it? You want to make sure to be a good host or hostess. You want to have everything perfect and right and for your guests, and you want them to be feel comfortable, and it's a lot of work. Imagine you had Jesus coming to your house. Imagine you were cooking dinner for him. Surely you want it would be your best, right? You want to make sure all the china is polished. You want to make sure all the dishes are straight. You want to make sure everything's right. And then you find out your sister isn't helping you. You know, you need help, and the stress, especially it's getting closer the time for Jesus to arrive and have everything done. And where's your sister? You look around for your sister Mary. You can't find her anywhere. And find you do find her. Where is she? She's sitting at Jesus' feet. And so we read that she came to Jesus earlier, and she said, "Jesus, tell my sister Mary to help me. I have all this work. I have all this service that needs to be done. Tell Mary to get out into the kitchen and help." You remember what Jesus said? "Oh, Martha, Martha, you're distracted about so many other things." He said, "Mary has chosen what is most important." Not that what Martha was doing didn't need to be done. He wasn't telling Martha that Mary had chosen what was, that it wasn't important for those details to be done. It had to be. If it was up to Mary, Jesus and the disciples would have starved. You know, Martha was the one who was good at that. But the thing was, before she was distracted, she wasn't serving with the right attitude because she was thinking about all that she had to do and she was forgetting about Jesus in her midst. But after Jesus had mentioned that to her, her whole attitude changed, because we see what happens here in John 12. What's going on? Where's Martha? Where's Mary? At the feet of Jesus, had anything changed? The situation was still the same. Mary was still at Jesus' feet. Martha was still serving. Nothing had changed, but what had changed was Martha's attitude. She had heard what Jesus said to her earlier about Martha. "You're becoming distracted and you're letting the service take you away from me about what's most important." And she learned her lesson. And so now this meal was given in Jesus' honor, and she was serving with the right attitude and with the heart to God. And that was a beautiful fragrance that the Lord was pleased with that filled the entire house. We can get caught up, friends, even in our service to the church and to God, that we can do it with the wrong attitude, can't we? And if we do it with the wrong attitude, we get like Martha. We say, "I'm doing it because nobody else, why isn't anybody else doing it? Nobody else is doing it, so I guess I got to. You know, no one else is stepping up, so I guess I'll have to do it." And we can get that same kind of attitude, and we forget that our service is for Jesus, for his honor. And so give it the best, but do it with the right attitude. And whatever we do it for his glory and for his honor, and that's a beautiful fragrance that God is pleased with. The whole room was filled with the fragrance. The whole room was filled with the fragrance of Martha's cooking. And all those that were there were pleased, as well as Jesus. The second fragrance is given off is when we serve the aroma of devotion. We have the aroma of service that represents Martha, but the aroma of devotion representing, as we see displayed and going through Mary's life. Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, coming in, took a pint, it says in my scripture here, a pint of pure nard, a very expensive perfume, and she poured it out on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of that perfume, of that pleasing aroma that went up to Jesus. It was the fragrance of devotion, of love poured out to her Savior. Do you think Martha loved Jesus? Sure she did. But the way she showed her love was through her service. That was the way she was gifted. That's the way she was wired. But Mary showed her love by devotion, by being at the presence of Jesus in his feet and pouring out. We have that aroma of devotion is released. Our love and worship is released to Christ when we pour out what is costly. Because it cost us something. Jesus, when he showed his love and devotion to you and me, cost him a lot, didn't it? It cost him his life. When he showed how much he was devoted to you and to me. When he showed how much he loved us by going to the cross and giving of himself, he poured out his self for us. And he gave what was most costly, his blood, his life for you and me. And when we pour out what is costly for Jesus, it shows our love and our devotion to him. Because what she poured out was not something cheap. It was an alabaster bottle of pure nard. And nard was very expensive. It was a spice that came from the Himalaya mountains. And it had to be imported to Israel at a great cost. And it was very expensive. In fact, Judas, as we'll see later in his criticism of her, said that was so expensive that it cost a year's wages. It was like working a whole year for a bottle of perfume. To bring it over in our day, it would be like someone a salary of getting $50,000 or $60,000, taking your whole annual salary, what you make in a year, to buy a bottle of perfume, and that's it. And it was very costly. But she poured it out. It reminds me of years ago, Kim and I were walking through the... We're down at the King of Prussia Mall in King of Prussia. And we were walking through a store called Neiman Marcus. Don't go in there much, but we're walking through there on our way out to somewhere else. And this lady's following Kim from the cosmetic calendar, from the cosmetic counter there. And she says, you want to try our latest fragrance from Paris? This is our latest fragrance from Paris. It only costs $500 an ounce. It's like, yeah, right. And that's how I felt, but that's what people said to Mary. You know, that's crazy. It's ridiculous. Why are you pouring out such waste on Jesus? I mean, but she gave what was costly. You know, if we don't pour out what's costly, if our faith and our devotion to Christ doesn't cost us anything, how important it is to us? When we pour out what's costly... And Mary poured out several things that were costly. She poured out our possessions. She poured out that very expensive bottle of perfume that cost a year's wages. Where Mary got it, we don't know. Whether someone in the family had given it to her down through the family, whether it was something that they had saved for special occasions. However Mary got it, we don't know that, but it was a very expensive possession. But she poured it out on Jesus. And what the question is do you and I treasure Jesus more than we treasure our stuff? You know, do we treasure him and value him more than we treasure the stuff we hold on to or the stuff we have? And realizing we talked again in Sunday school this morning that all that we have belongs to who? Who gave it to us in the first place? It comes from him. It's his. And honoring God with our possessions, pouring out what we have, giving it back to him as a fragrant, pleasing aroma that sends up to God. It's part of the way we show our devotion and our love to Jesus. We talked about in Sunday school about, do we give under compulsion or do we give under love? We give because we love and God's grace and what he's done for us. Honoring him, pouring out our possessions, what we have, but also pouring out our pride. It cost her pride when she did this, because she came into the banquet, she got down at Jesus' feet, she poured out the perfume, and she dried his feet with her hair. How would that cost her pride? Well, one thing, that she got down and for Jesus' feet, knelt down in front of him and washed his feet. Because washing the feet of somebody else was the job that the lowliest slave would do. That wasn't the job for those who were the upper class or those who were powerful. That was what the slaves would do. Remember, Jesus demonstrated that by himself, by washing the feet of his disciples. Remember, he said, I'm coming to show you the example we're to have of serving one another, to lay our pride aside, to lay ourself aside and put others first. So she humbled herself by taking on the role of a servant, the role that the lowly slave would do, which Jesus himself did. But she also, it cost her pride, not only in her position, but it cost her pride because it says that she dried Jesus' feet with her hair. A towel wouldn't do for Mary. She wanted to show how much she loved him and how devoted she was to him. So she dried Jesus' feet with her hair. Why was that costing her pride? Because in Bible times, in that culture, for a woman to let down their hair in public was considered a reproach. It was not something you would do. For a woman to let down their hair in public meant that you were a woman of loose morals and low moral standing. And so for her to do that, she was saying, I don't care what people think about me. I want Jesus to know how much I love him. And I'm willing to even sacrifice my pride for the sake of honoring him. Are we willing to sacrifice our pride for the sake of Jesus? To show him how much we love him and our level of devotion to him. That's a pleasing aroma that honors him. Our pride, but also our reputation. Because she didn't care. She didn't care what others thought. And do we, you and I, treasure Jesus more than what others think? In verses 4 through 6, as Mary poured this out on Jesus, said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, but when you read the other accounts in Matthew and Mark, we find out that all the disciples joined in, but it was Judas that led the attack. And one of the disciples, Judas, but all of them said, Mary, why are you wasting this perfume on Jesus? Basically, why are you wasting this perfume on him? I mean, after all, that's so expensive. You could have sold that, and it could have taken care of a lot more people, and you could have helped out a lot of people in need. Why did you waste it on Jesus? Isn't that a terrible thing for one of the disciples to say? But John tells us the motivation. It was said by Judas because he was the treasurer. He took care of the money, and he liked to help himself out with an additional stealth himself. So he was looking at his own need. But she was willing to sacrifice her reputation. She didn't care what people thought. And she took that and was willing to accept it on herself. She didn't care. And when they said, why this waste? You're just wasting that on Jesus. Have you ever heard anybody say to you, why do you come to church to worship God? You're just wasting your time. Why are you reading the scripture? Why are you praying? You're just wasting your time. You're wasting your time and energy to serve Jesus. I mean, there's more important things you could be doing. It's just a waste of your time. Or don't get too carried away in your devotion to Christ because you're going to look silly. Don't dare get excited so excited to the point of church that you feel moved to say amen, because after all, you're going to look ridiculous in the front of everybody else. They're going to look at you. They're going to make faces at you. Or if you get blessed and you want to stick your hand up, don't do that because someone's going to criticize you or make fun of you. You ever have those thoughts? It's the same kind of thing. It's what the disciples did to Mary. Don't dare get carried away with your devotion. Don't get too excited about it. Don't get too passionate now. Keep everything in control. After all, you got to be, you know, in the right spot. Remember what happened when David was so moved by the Spirit when the Ark of the Covenant came into Jerusalem. And the Ark of the Covenant, it was brought in with celebration and dancing. And he was all excited to have the Ark returned back to the capital city. It says that he danced before the Lord and he celebrated and he rejoiced. And there was great joy, but his wife criticized him and said, David, you know how ridiculous and stupid you looked? You looked really dumb and stupid out there, and how that was so unbecoming of the king to be acting like that. Same kind of thing. His devotion was criticized. But David didn't care about his reputation because he was showing his devotion. Remember what happened to Michal? God said to Michal, because of that, you're going to be childless the rest of your life. You know, sometimes the criticism and of our devotional love for Christ can come from people who love us the best, from family, from friends, from those closest to us. In this case, it came from the disciples of Jesus. But are you and I willing to show that we treasure Jesus more than what other people think of us? Mary was. And that was a pleasing aroma that went up to Christ, a fragrance of devotion from a life that poured out all that she had. It cost us. And it cost us our reputation. It cost us our pride. It cost us our possessions. But if we give it to Jesus, he's honored with it. But also, when we spend time in his presence, we show and release that fragrance. We release that fragrance of devotion when we pour out what's costly, but we also release that fragrance of devotion whenever we spend time in his presence. Because Mary, we learn it from Mary, that it says that Mary took the pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, and poured it out on Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. How do we spend time with his presence? We do it by sitting his feet. Every time you read about Mary, and write these other references down. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 and 39, and John chapter 11, verse 32. Every time you read about Mary, you're going to find her at one same location every single time. Where was it you always find Mary? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. She loved Jesus. She was devoted to him. That's where you found her. You'd find Martha serving in the kitchen. That's fine. That was her way of showing her devotion, her service, her worship to God, her love for him. But Mary, you always found it, her sitting in the presence of Christ. We show our devotion for Jesus. We release that beautiful fragrance of our love for him by spending time at his feet, listening to him, spending time with him every day. Do you take time each day sitting at the feet of Jesus? Sitting to learn from him, to be still and know that he is God, to be free from all the distractions of the world, and to sit in the presence of Jesus at his feet and just listen to him and enjoy being with him. Mary loved being with Jesus and just sitting with him. Sitting at his feet and soaking in his word. Because as Mary sat there at his feet, and every time you read about her being there, that's where she was. She sat at his feet and listened. She soaked in and she listened to what he had to say. Because it was so much well that she listened. She listened so well that she picked up on things that the others didn't. Because notice verse 7 and 8. As the disciples criticized her and said, "Why did you waste this perfume? It could have been given to the poor." Jesus said to them, "Leave her alone, because she intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial." How did Mary know that Jesus was going to die when the rest of the disciples didn't? The disciples had been with Jesus all of those times. The next thing that's going to happen here is Jesus is going to go into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey. It's the beginning of Holy Week. Jesus knew what was coming up. He would be dying within a week. But how did Mary know that when all the rest of the disciples were too hard to get it? They just couldn't get it. But Mary did. She was soaking in his word. Somehow when she sat in his presence and listened to what he had to say, she was able to pick up and gain insight that even the disciples didn't have. She was able to realize, you know, Jesus is going to be dying here. And I want to show him how much I love him. And I'm giving him the best that I have. Because she understood what others didn't. And that was because she spent time at his feet. When you spend time with Jesus, sitting at his feet, soaking in his word, you'll gain insight about and truth about God that other people do not take that, that are not in that position. Because it's in the presence of Christ, he reveals himself to us in more intimate ways. And we discover more about who he is and more about his will. So we have the fragrance of a life of service released. And we've seen in Mary's life the fragrance of a life of devotion through Mary. But third, we see the third aroma that's pleasing to God, and that's the aroma of a life restored. That when God restores a life, when God changes a life, that leaves out a fragrance as well, an aroma that is greater than all the others. Because the story goes on in verses 9 through 11, that a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there, and they came not only because of him, but because of the third member of the family, Lazarus. Mary served by her devotion. Martha worshiped by her service, her duty. But Lazarus' aroma was that of a restored life. And it is the greatest witness of all. Because a restored life is the greatest witness of what God can do. And of the power of God at work. When we see what God does in transforming the lives of others, it's a powerful witness to God about God's power that cannot be denied by anybody. Yes, the fragrance of Martha's meal was great. And when that fragrance was released and they smelled Martha's cooking, it was a beautiful fragrance that filled the house. And it made people hungry and they enjoyed it. And the fragrance and the aroma of Mary's perfume was pleasing. But the aroma of a changed life impacted far more people. For good, in a positive way, and a negative way. Because it said a lot of people came to that dinner because they wanted to see Lazarus. They wanted to see a man that was dead and came back to life again. What God did through him. In fact, not only was it a positive, but it says religious leaders, it affected them too. Because they got nervous because a lot of people were starting to believe in God and Christ because of what the witness of Lazarus changed life. And you know, you can affect a lot more people by the power of your life and what God's done through you than even our life of service and devotion. When people see what Jesus has done in your life every day and the change he makes, that's a powerful witness. We don't even have to share a word. There's no mention in the scripture. And I find this interesting. There's no mention in their scripture anywhere of anything Lazarus ever said. And there's nothing recorded of anything Lazarus ever did. Other than the fact that he was the brother of Mary and Martha and he was dead and Jesus brought him back to life again. The scripture records never him ever saying a word. Never saying anything or doing anything. But you know he had a greater witness and impact than anybody for Christ. So great it was that they tried to silence his witness by killing him. They wanted to stop it. It's a witness, the greatest witness of what God can do is his change in you. It's how he's restored your life. Because Lazarus' life was changed from a decaying corpse to a new creation. Because Lazarus was giving off an odor too. And if you go back to chapter 11, and you turn back to chapter 11, you see the odor that was given off. And that's, and we find it in John 11. And we see it in verse 35. No, that's the shortest one. I had it marked here. Oh, yes, it's 39. He was giving off an odor too. And in the King James, it says, "Behold, he stinketh." He was giving off an odor because he'd been decaying for 4 days in the grave. And behold, he stinketh. I was telling Kim, I was mentioning this morning. She said, let them know that was the first Bible verse she ever memorized. Behold, he stinketh. But he was giving off an odor too of a decaying corpse. And that wasn't a pleasing odor, but when Christ changed his life, that fragrance changed. And it was a fragrance of a life restored and a life set free. And when Christ changes us, he changes us from that odor of a decaying corpse, dead in our sin, to the pleasing fragrance of a new creation. Isn't that beautiful? and the power that that has. It is the witness of what God can do in changing our lives. And it's also a powerful witness of who God is. Because it says many people came to see Lazarus. And the Jews then determined not only to kill Jesus, but also to kill Lazarus too. Because Lazarus' life was a witness to who God was. Because in John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and I am the life. And he who believes in me, yet though he is dead, yet shall he live." And when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, it was a demonstration of God that he was the I am. And he was the resurrection and he is life. And when people see Jesus in you, it's a witness of who he is. As his beauty is seen in us. So the question is, do you smell like Christ? What does Jesus smell like? If Jesus, you'd say, we want to smell like Jesus, the fragrance and aroma of Jesus, what would it be? What do you think Jesus smells like? Do you think because he was a carpenter, you think he smells like wood? No, what Jesus smelled like is what we see in Galatians chapter 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control, the fruit of the Spirit, forgiving, grace, mercy, all of those things. That's what Jesus smells like. And that our life changed, becoming more like him, is a testimony of who God is. The people know who God is by the way you smell, by the fragrance of Jesus. They see love, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, kindness, those things emulating from your life. For we are the fragrance and the aroma of Christ. And you and I are to be diffusing that aroma every day. As you leave here today, you go to take that aroma of Christ into the world. That people would see him through us. And just as the whole house was filled with the fragrance, after Mary and Martha left, the fragrance continued and lingered. Even after you and I leave a building or leave a presence, the fragrance of Jesus should remain. That people should say, boy, I can tell I've been in the presence of Jesus because Harold was here. And that fragrance continues to linger even after we're gone. And that's what we're called to. How's that happen? Through a life of service, a life of devotion, and a life that has been restored by Christ and changed from our sin to a new creation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the example in this story, for this beautiful story that reflects how our life and we are the fragrance of you. That we, each one of us, releases that pleasing of fragrance and aroma to you through a life of passionate service where we give the best we have to you with the right attitude. When we give up to you our devotion through what is costly to us, our possessions, our pride, our reputation. When we sit at your feet and soak in your word and spend time with you, and that fragrance of a changed life, a life that has been restored from death to life through the power of the resurrection of Jesus. What a witness that is. And so, Lord, as we go from here, may the beauty of Jesus be seen in us. May the fragrance that our life emulates around us be lasting and lingering, even after we may leave someone's presence, that the aroma of Christ would remain, that the whole house would be filled with the fragrance of Jesus through us. By the love that we show, by the grace that we extend, by the forgiveness that we grant, by the peace, by the joy, by the patience, by Jesus being lived out in us. So Lord, may the beauty of Jesus be seen in us. Make us like you. Stamp your own image in our life as we release your fragrance into a world that so desperately needs to know what you're like. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.